You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay. We're not doing that again.
We're doing it every episode. We're opening with the "you are gay" African guy bit.
Well, you? So for people to understand the bit, they gotta subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline.
Yeah, here's the bit. We're doing 7-year-old memes.
Yeah, but the classics never get old, though.
That's what I say.
You know, like, yeah, that's the oldest shit meme, but it's a goddamn classic. Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
It's just it's what comedy's made of. That's the raw materials.
Exactly. These are the hard. So speaking of comedy, I was thinking that for the entire episode, we could just watch the Nun 2 trailer on a loop.
The Nun 2. Fill me in on what that is.
So perhaps you're familiar with the Conjuring universe.
Oh God, the universe. Yeah,
there's a Conjuring extended universe. It's got. Hold on, let's check this out.
Ugh. God damn it! Okay. Does everything have to be a universe?
Everything's a universe. Okay, so here's a IGN article from a couple months ago: how to watch the Conjuring movies in chronological order. So we got the Nun. Okay, so the Nun is actually chronologically the first, because it takes place in 1952 Romania. Okay. Followed by Annabelle Creation, right? It takes place in 1955. Followed by Annabelle, which takes place in 67. Followed by The Conjuring, which takes place in 71. Followed by Annabelle Comes Home, which is 1972. The Curse, okay, this is where it got crazy, because this is where they tried to appeal to a Mexican audience. I don't know that this worked. The Curse of the La Llorona, which at first doesn't roll off your tongue anyway, but that takes place in 73. The Conjuring 2 takes place in 77. You know, how much do you love that this is, we're not even half done. How much do you love that this is somebody's job? Like some IGN quote unquote journalist getting paid $35 for the entire bit actually had to figure out when all these movies take place. And then there's The Nun. And so anyway, this is, there's a whole universe here. Since 2013, there has been 9 movies, and this is from 3 months ago. So now there's The Nun 2. So there's a lot of movies here. How many have you seen?
Wouldn't it be better just to watch them in the order in which they released?
No. You want to know the real story.
But wouldn't you get the real story by watching them in the order that they were released?
No. Don't be stupid.
If you're going to watch Star Wars, don't start with the fucking prequels.
Oh yeah. You got to start with the prequels to understand.
The prequels are bad though.
No. You got to do that. That's just so you get it.
Yeah. I forgot all those BuzzFeed articles about how actually they're good as soon as Disney purchased Lucasfilm. I forgot.
Yeah, what are you, stupid?
Interesting how everybody decided the prequels were good when Disney bought it.
By the way, before we get started, I want to have this on record. This is the hardest day of my life.
Oh.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. Mm-hmm. what flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
And the reason for that is that I'm doing my girlfriend's responsibilities around the house.
Mm-hmm.
Is your girlfriend like a tidy person? Is she clean?
Yeah, she's pretty clean.
So my girlfriend is fastidious in her upkeep of our home. And she is currently in bed. She is recovering from a surgery, and I am doing all the stuff that I just take for granted every day of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like just like irresponsibly just assume that this is that I was born into Princeton and that this is how things just get done, you know?
Yeah, you're a little prince.
I'm a little La Petite Prince, as I always say. Yeah. And I'm just picking up the slack, and it is, you know, so on record, I love my future wife. I love my life, and I love our little home and all that shit. But there is something fundamentally easier about living like a college student.
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding?
There's something easier about it. Now, I think that that's got to change. I was thinking about advice. If I was to give advice to, for example, my stepson, I don't know who the hell else would come to me for advice. Sometimes younger bands come to me for advice, which is crazy because they're all more successful than I am. But if I was to give advice, I would say you've got to give the appearance of being classy so that you attract a classy woman so that you can kind of backward your way into an actual classy life. Does that scam work by your estimation?
Well, it's kind of like it can work, but I feel like it's kind of like adopting like a junkyard dog, you know, like it might work out, or, you know, sometimes you can take the dog out of the junkyard, but you can't take the junkyard out of the dog.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's you. You're the junkyard dog.
Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend would probably say that I've required some house training. When we lived together, is it fair to say that I was not operating on all adult cylinders?
I think it would be hard to find anyone that you've known that would say that you've been firing on all adult cylinders. I mean, but you're like, you're strange though. Like you're a messy guy, but I've never met anyone who would prefer an army cot over like a proper bed.
You know, here's what I say about that. That is when I was separated. And when I say separate, I don't mean estranged for people keeping track. I mean, separated, like my girl and I were not in the same place. I think that now this is going to be a controversial opinion. I think that beds are for couples.
Mm.
That's my view.
Okay. Yeah.
My view is that beds are for couples. Like I have a nice bed. My girlfriend and I have like, you know, it's like a proper, like a, you know, professional, what would you call that? A real bed or like a real boy. It's a bed. And I like it, obviously. Right. But it is, that's for when you are attached, serious, have an adult life. Before that, I think that it should be couches and cots, possibly a Japanese bedroll, but that's it.
Yoga mat.
I've had that terrible life.
Yeah.
But do you see my perspective on this? Or are you such a child of luxury that you require it to be nice at all times?
Well, I'll say that, I don't like a bed that's too soft. Like I have this little like Tempur-Pedic thing on my bed right now, and I lay in it sometimes. I'm like, this is too mushy, you know? Like I like a nice firm, like I would do pretty well sleeping on like a plank of wood. But I don't know. I mean, I will say when I do that, when I do sleep on a firmer surface, it does feel like the quality of my sleep takes a sharp hit. And I hate being tired. I am like I'm the crankiest bitch on earth. When I'm tired, I'm like a little fucking toddler. It's insufferable. So, I will take the opulence of a proper mattress to avoid being a total fucking pill to be around.
Do you ever project that misery and unhappiness onto the people around you? That's what you're saying. Like, okay, you have to travel to see your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
We're currently you're long distance. Mm-hmm. When you arrive, are you too spent to, for example, be pleasant, make love, and all that shit?
I might need like a day, you know. I might need to like get in and then like lay down for a while, and then I'll be okay. But that's just because being on a plane is, as you know, is a nightmare. But no, I mean, it's not a long flight. I've done the flight from here to Chicago. She lives in Chicago. I've done it a few times. I've gotten used to it. It's not bad. I'm on a plane. It's like, I'm like a touring act, but I don't do anything. But I've been on a plane for fucking like, I've been on so many goddamn planes in the last like month and a half.
You're doing side splitters in Tampa's.
Yeah, I'm doing zanies.
You're doing just for yucks. you're doing Zelensky's, you know.
Oh god, well, can we do why did Greta go see Zelensky? We can get into that, but
I mean, what are you saying? Rothschilds, this is all Moloch shit.
Is it Moloch shit?
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky says listening to AC/DC and Guns N' Roses has helped him deal with the stress of war. That's an article today. Are we just suggesting this is a real human being, or are we ready to say PSYOP?
That can't be real.
You're not believing that article?
No, I think that what helps him with the stress of war is taking a ride on the Lolita Express, probably.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I say.
Like,
you know, what's going to be really weird is if this dude pulls it off. if Zelensky, if Ukraine is a sovereign nation in 3 years, they're really going to struggle over there with this guy, because Zelensky's Jewish, right?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not in love with that position broadly. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
I think it's somewhat contentious. Like, obviously he won the presidency, so it's like a bit like the Obama thing. It's not like everybody in the country can be a fucking bigot. You know what I mean?
Right. Won.
But there's at least still some animus towards the Jews.
Oh, I see. Right. You're talking about the Azovs.
I've had a hard time parsing the Azovs thing because both sides want to either completely weaponize it or utterly ignore it in this really dishonest way. Because here's the thing, right?
It's thorny. It's a thorny issue, as the New York Times put it.
Yeah, thorny issue. Oh,
you don't say.
A lot of people are hammering that because it's like, yeah, it seems like New York Times, you're not being very full throated with your condemnation of Nazism suddenly.
Yeah,
I mean, which is weird.
Yeah,
because it's an easy thing to denounce, really. If you think,
yeah, it's one of the easiest things to denounce, I'd say.
Yeah, there's people that do it just because it's easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but it, like a lot of people, I don't even know if they are really that familiar with anything going on in Nazism. You know what I mean? I think that they just, you know, you're not going to lose friends shitting on Nazis.
Yeah.
So, but
maybe your next record won't be on Rock Against Communism, but.
Yeah, resistance is is not taking your calls anymore. But the My God, the Eagles are announcing a farewell tour in 2025.
It's crazy.
How old are the fucking Eagles?
Dude, they're old, man.
Jesus.
I saw that they announced show. They were one of the first bands to announce shows after COVID. And I was like, COVID didn't get these motherfuckers.
I mean, they might be LMDs. Have you seen, speaking of LMDs, maybe I can find it again. Hold on. Are you familiar with Secret Invasion?
The Marvel?
Yes.
I've never read the comic or I have not watched the artificially intelligence produced show, but I'm aware of it.
So there was a tweet the other day. It was a guy saying, you know, it's fascinating that, and he seemed like a proper media critic guy. He didn't seem like a loon on either partisan side, but he said that it's interesting that he cannot find anybody in his circle who has watched it or proclaims any interest in watching it.
Yeah.
And look, sometimes that doesn't mean anything. I've never heard a Dua Lipa song. Nevertheless, she seems like she's doing okay. You know what I mean? So it doesn't always mean anything, but the replies to that man, now they were about 50-50. Half the people were saying, well, actually I'm watching it, which is, by the way, not a reply, everyone. If somebody says, it's crazy, I don't know a single person that enjoys Dua Lipa. And then you jump out and you go, well, in fact, myself and 30 million Spotify listeners enjoy her every day. Okay. That's clear. I believe they exist. I was talking about in my circles. I don't know who these people are. That's all I said. So it's not a reply and it makes you look like a fucking lunatic, but he got 100 of those replies. And then of course, 100 people saying, I watched the first episode. It was straight fucking trash.
Yep.
The amount of people who were standing for Marvel Studios was, I felt like it was like a deposed dictator's partisans were still in the streets fighting. You know, like we all agree these things are mediocre, right? Like they provided moments and they were fun, but now it's straight Duke. Am I wrong? You've seen more of the recent ones than I have. You see a lot of fucking trash, by the way. What do you have Movie Pass? Why are you go to garbage?
You're asking me why I saw the Boogeyman movie?
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been going to the movies as much. I have skipped the last couple Marvel things because I'm just and even like, you know, even this fucking Indiana Jones shit and The Flash, it's like 3 years, well, not 3 years ago, but 2 years ago, I might be like, yeah, it looks like trash, but I'll see it. But I'm kind of done, you know? I'm just like, I know people that are even like, yeah, Indiana Jones looks bad, but like, I love Indiana Jones. I got to see it. No, I'm not going to see it. No, it looks like some cynical garbage. I don't want to see it.
It's crazy how badly they can turn you off from shit that you love.
Yeah.
I recently watched the Indiana Jones trilogy and was absolutely mind blown, riveted by every fucking moment of it. And not just on some nostalgia thing, on some, wow, filmmaking used to be awesome sort of.
Yeah.
Thing, right. Where I've said this before, Spielberg's dedication to Harrison Ford's face is, I mean, it's loving, you know what I mean? It's truly loving. It's like the way that you would hope that your partner sees you. And everything about the movies are great. And great. Then Crystal Skull ruined my interest seemingly forever because I won't even humor this new movie.
No, won't even humor it. And you know, that's the thing, is it's going to be forgotten as soon as it came, you know, like I wonder if it did better at the box office than The Flash did. Cause The Flash they're saying The Flash is like one of the biggest bombs of all time. But I don't, I'm sick of the shit, man. I'm sick. Yo, do you think, how many people on this planet do you think remember that there was a new Bill and Ted movie?
Oh.
No one, no, confirm no one knows.
Yeah, that's the Zoolander 2 of,
oh!
Listen, yeah, I think that you're right. The things they come and they go in a way that feels more disposable and feels cynical and feels contrived. But a lot of times we're game for that shit, you know, like it, people are suckers for it. So what changed? Also, here's a big sidebar. Here's a bigger thing. And this is a thing I'm going to try to find a way to write about a little bit. I saw people rooting for Indiana Jones to fail.
I was probably one of them.
Yeah. Oh no, me too. And yeah. Then I saw other people jump out and say, what do you benefit? Like, what is it in it for you if Indiana Jones fails?
Validation.
Well, here's the thing, right? I don't think that's a fair question. I think that's a dishonest question because I think we know the answer, which is, hey, this feels ugly and cynical and I don't want it to win. That's an answer. Do you know what I mean? That's an answer is, hey, I think that what's being presented to me and what's being presented to the average person is trash. And if it wins, I feel like that's a loss for everybody. It's an answer. So my whole thing here is that wrong? Or is that like, is it okay to wish bad? Is it okay to wish ill on corporate product?
Well,
does that make you a psychopath?
On corporate products? Yeah. I mean, yes, I want to, you know, yeah, I think that's okay. Because like,
but does it make you a loser?
Probably. I mean, yeah, certainly. But like, whatever, man, like that's just the hand that you've been dealt. Like, yeah, for sure. Like I'm a loser, whatever. Like I don't work on these things. I'm not Kathleen Kennedy. I'm not James Mangold, which, by the way, I think everybody involved in this production didn't even want to be on it. You know, like,
you know, the most interesting narrative about Kathleen Kennedy is people hate her, right? Like people resent her and her influence.
I am one of them.
And now I think it's taking a different track where everybody has the same criticism, which is, does she know something? Is there a reason that she can't be fired? Because it seems like anybody else would have been fired. So when you are not fired for things that everybody else would be fired for, it makes it look like one of two things. Now, this is sexist, right? Because if it was a man, you would assume that he has consolidated his power around him in such a way that he can't be disposed of. So for example, you purge the old guard and you surround yourself with sycophants that rely on your patronage, right? And that is, that's one way of doing things. When it's women, sexist approach, we all say the same thing, which is, what does she have on these people? Right? And I understand this is sexist. I understand it's not nice, but are they necessarily wrong?
Well, I think in my view, she's been head of the Star Wars stuff, right? That's her place within yes. Disney.
It's all the Lucasfilm stuff. So Star Wars and Indiana Jones and Willow.
Oh, God, Willow.
That's what I'm saying. So like, what's her success rate?
Well, Willow is definitely an L, but I would bet, I don't know this, maybe you can look it up, but I would bet those Star Wars movies are still box office winners, despite them being critical failures. You know what I mean?
So, as long as
they're getting return on their investment, you know, I think it's kind of like, just keep doing what you're doing. This Indiana Jones one might be a different story, but we'll see.
Well, so here's the...
Willow,
Yeah, Willow. You remember Willow?
Willow.
I want you to picture Willow in a N95 mask. okay, so Skywalker Saga is Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith, New Hope, Emperor Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Okay, Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, Rise of Skywalker. Okay, so I'm going to click on Rise of Skywalker, see how we did here. And everybody, I know that there's a ton of sites and YouTubes that do exactly this, and they're all always wrong. You know what I mean? It's just terribly, always shittily wrong. And so we're not going to be any different. Ours is going to be wrong. So the budget is for Rise of Skywalker. Listen to this spread. It's either $275 million or $416 million. What a difference.
Pretty big difference, yeah.
It made $1
billion. Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but Eric, they're set, so they say that, let's say it's the 416 number. That means that it spent an equal, or they say that it could spend half of that on marketing, right? So let's say that that brings the number up to, I don't know what, 7.5, right? 7.5. And then you made $1 billion. Now, the question becomes, how much profit is worthwhile profit, right? Because if you put out a $30 million movie and it makes $400 million, that's a great return on investment. If you spend $500 million in hard costs plus marketing another third, right, or another half, and you make $1 billion, while the numbers are massive, the return on investment isn't very high, so or isn't very impressive. So I guess my point is, you know, and this is there's a new narrative every fucking week with these fucking stupid movies. So the narrative now is, why are movies so expensive? But they're not wrong. Do you know what I mean? They're not wrong. This is profoundly stupid what we're doing here. And it feels like a scam on some level.
Well, it feels like a scam in the sense that, I feel like if I watch one of these fucking movies from 10 years ago, it looks better than any of the shit that's come out in the last 4 years. Like, there's been a steep decline in quality in the way these films look. Now, especially Star Wars and Marvel shit is like CGI vomit, but at least, I don't know, the original Thor movie, I watched it and like, didn't have any issues with the way it looked. The new Thor movie looked like fucking garbage. So where's that money going? I mean, it has to be, is it as Mel Gibson says, a Lolita Express sex trafficking ring? You know, like, is it money laundering? Is it cover? Like, why do these movies look like garbage and they spend this level of money on? That's the scam that I'm interested in.
Yeah, I mean, is it lowest bid contracting, but it's all going to somebody's cousin? Do you know what I mean? Is it that type of shit? Because
it all goes to Hunter Biden.
I mean, maybe. Listen, him smoking crack driving 115 miles per hour is the fucking best video I've ever seen.
It's great.
That's like, look, is it irresponsible? And do we think that, you know, this is not a pro drunk driving, crack driving podcast? You know, I mean, despite how we've been maligned, but
yeah,
it is, if you don't think it's funny, that's insane.
I just think it's funny that he keeps taking video of himself. Like, he's addicted to putting it out there.
Yeah, he is.
Knowing who his fucking family and father is.
Yeah, he is. hold on. This is interesting. I'm looking at all the first ladies of Ukraine, and they're way different than our first lady. Oh no, you had to go back three before you end up at one that looks like she would be an American. Oh, okay. No. So, so it's just from 2014 on. And really I would say, yeah, 2014 and on, you have a string of first ladies who present very different than the ones previous. Like a little bit more Melania. Just a there's just a touch more Melania in the gene pool here.
Sure.
What do you think that is? Do you think that in the future first ladies and first husbands are going to be kind of like influencer ready?
Probably. Oh, almost definitely. Well, it depends. It depends, right? I mean, if we elect a young person, then yeah. But like, you know, for old Joe, I mean, you know, the social media thing is not.
Let's say he left his wife and got with Sydney Sweeney.
That, you know, listen, it might endear me to him a little bit, honestly. I mean, here's the thing. Joe Biden, he tried with the Dark Brandon thing, right?
He really did. He thought he was doing something.
It was a little fun, I guess. But you know what the problem is with that is, like, whenever the memes become self-aware.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't give yourself a nickname.
It's over.
That's the problem.
Did you see the DeSantis deep fried fucking like Sigma male fucking like campaign ad?
No.
Oh, he has an official deep fried?
I mean, I like that.
No, not deep fried, but like it was like Christian Bale, like Sigma male, like you know, played the song that's like down, 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 down. It was
what is that song?
You would know it if you heard it. It was very
Sandstorm.
Not Sandstorm, but it's like it
Crab Rave.
Not Crab Rave. That would be great. No, it was a very meme-y ad. When the politicians become aware of the memes and they start Pokemon using the memes, it's over. First of all, it's over for the meme, and it's just lame. It's just lame ass shit. Now, Kathleen Kennedy, on the other hand, she's a hero.
Kathleen Kennedy, by the way, Zelensky, I knew he was an actor, comedian, or comedic actor or whatever, but did you know that his wife is a scriptwriter at
Pixar?
Cravatol, Pixar at 95. And that's Zelensky's and his school friend's production company. Do you think that his time in the media has made it so he can, or behind the camera has made it so he can kind of fake some of the, like, do we think we're getting moon landing shit out of Zelensky?
Whenever we do this thing, it's like, I don't know. It's impossible to speculate on this war, man. It's so confusing. Maybe the whole thing's fake. Who the fuck do I know?
You think the whole war is fake?
Yeah. Maybe the whole thing was staged. It's kind of a nice thought. I mean, I kind of want to think that, honestly.
Yeah, it's, you know, 100%. Much, much better than like a child buried under rubble.
Yeah.
Hold on. I speaking of Pixar, I just want to talk about this. Here's a tweet I saw today with, you know, 2,000 likes. It's okay if you haven't liked some of Pixar's latest films, but do not say that John Lasseter's leaving is the reason they're not doing great. Ooh. We are not going to that's the guy who did all of the classic Pixar stuff. He got fired for hugging people.
Love it.
So
fuck out of here, Rapo.
He got hit with a completely imaginary Me Too. And which, by the way, with Jonathan Majors, did you see what happened in that one?
No, didn't follow up on that.
The same day there's an article in Rolling Stone about how he is a monster or whatever. The investigators into the claim in New York are now saying there's ample evidence against the girlfriend for lying and abusing him.
So is he going to stick around as, who is he? Is he Krang?
No, Krang is from the Ninja Turtles.
That's right. That's not him.
This guy is playing a Big Worm. So
listen, the big slime.
But do not say that John Lasseter leaving is the reason they're not doing great. We are not going to prop up a drunken, sexist, and egotistical sexual predator who made people at Pixar feel unsafe.
Yeah.
So this is an unemployed loser who is saying, firstly, none of these are confirmed. There's people who feel that their career didn't go as far as it should have because he is sexist. I don't think there's any proof to that. And he was fired for hugging people.
Mm.
And if you don't think that these dudes are all drunks, you're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, really.
Now here's my point though. Let's say all those things are true. Let's say he's a drunken, sexist, egotistical, sexual predator. Sexual predator, by the way, strong language.
Yeah, very strong.
Let's say they're all true. Is it mutually exclusive with the idea that he's also great at producing animated films?
Well, he has a lot of hits under his belt.
He has the biggest hits.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know what his role was at any point. Maybe he stepped away on the creative. Maybe, who knows? But the idea that people can't reconcile that some of the most brilliant people on the planet are pieces of shit is crazy to me. And Eric, I know I'm belaboring.
But this guy seems like a confirmed not piece of shit.
Well, yeah, sure. But let's take him hypothetical. So this is the hypothetical Lasseter or whatever the fuck his name is. He's a monster. He's a groomer. He's a, the mad goose wizard. Right. And let's say that that's all true. I mean, does that mean he can't produce a billion-dollar franchise? No, it doesn't mean that. And I would say you have to weigh these things the same way that you would weigh policy. It's okay. This person brought beautiful art. I'm being a little hyperbolic. I'm talking about Pixar films, but this person brought
Toy Story.
Yeah, Cars 2. This person brought beautiful work into the world. Seemingly he's the only one that was tailored to the time, or he was truly a brilliant individual. But in either case, he owns this. This is his legacy. He did something brilliant and big and beautiful. Is it not also, do we have to, like, could we not weigh that against his wrongs in life and say, well, you know what? We're going to take away John Lasseter's ability to hire and fire women. We're going to have that put in front of a review board. But we can't get rid of this guy because no one else can do his fucking job.
Mm. And have you met Kathleen Kennedy?
Well, this is exactly my point. My point here is it ever just okay to say that, hey, it's not all about money. Let's make it about art. Let's make it about good work. Let's make it about accomplishing things. Is sometimes the villain not the man of the hour? Obviously, yes. Obviously, yes. So what do people want? Do they want less beauty in the world? Is that what the goal is?
Probably. Yeah. Well, no, I think it's all, it's subjective in the sense that the beauty standards have changed to like morality standards. Right. So, you know, Zootopia 5 is better than Toy Story because, it has
more fat women in it.
It has more fat women. It was made by a nun, I guess. I don't know.
No, not a nun. That association is evil.
Oh, is it?
It was made by.
I was just trying to think of someone totally sexless.
No, you can't do that. You got to say, made by somebody who is. We'll say they're gray, and demisexual.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the article that's written about how AI created art is better, because that way we won't have to celebrate problematic artists.
That article will come.
Where's Vox on that one?
That'll happen.
Yeah, where's the Atlantic on that one? Right, come on, step it up, guys. I can't do your job for you.
Do you think that somebody working for Vox is in on it, or are they a true believer being exploited by their paymasters, who are like, can you believe that we found human beings that are willing to write this?
I think about this all the time, where like I truly wonder, are people in on the kayfabe bullshit, or is this like actually their like ethos? Like, do they ever like, is it like Harrison Bergeron that like whenever they have a thought that strays, like whenever they hear a good point against, you know, whatever it is, you know, there, you know, does a loud alarm blare in the back of their brain or something? Like when they realize the fallacies in which the things in which they believe, or the things in which they that practice, or the, you know, do they reckon with that in their brain, or do they tuck it away, or do they deny it, or do they, like, I want to know their like inner doubts. I guess there's probably a mix of people, right? There's probably a mix of people that are true believers, and there's probably some that are like, this is bullshit, but I'm gonna catch this check. You know, we need equity, you know, like, yeah, they'll yell it too. But I think about it a lot. I wonder, does Kathleen Kennedy worry about her job when, you know, when Indiana Jones 5, let's check out the Rotten Tomatoes there.
No, don't even go by that. I don't even.
You can't, right? Because it's been, it's.
You know, I'm talking about compromise. That shit is over.
It's, yeah, Rotten Tomatoes is big time over. But, like, I think, wait, Indiana Jones and the King, no, not the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. That's, what are we talking, did I go back in time? What's happening?
You're back in time.
Where are they, did they hide the Indiana Jones review? Like they got rid of the, yeah, oh, it has a 69% from the critics and an 88% audience score. Is that right?
I don't know if I'm buying it really.
The only review I heard was from my girlfriend's mother, who said the last 10 minutes were pretty fun, but the movie was kind of a stinker.
Yeah, everybody says too long.
Wait, 2 hours and 24 minutes. Christ almighty. I'm done with these long, unless you're fucking Scorsese, stop making these long ass movies, for the love of God. Fucking that Air Jordan movie was like a tight 90, and it was really good.
Oh, I mean, that's all I want. I'm watching these movies from the 70s. Let's see. Yeah, listen, when I'm 15 minutes into a film, I want to feel like it's a huge chunk of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark. Let's see. What's the runtime on Raiders? Raiders of the Lost Ark might be one of the greatest movies ever made.
No doubt.
Let's see here.
Right now I'm watching Downhill Racer with Gene Hackman and Robert Redford.
Raiders of the Lost Ark is an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, sounds right.
And you could probably shave off five.
I would never.
Yeah, I wouldn't. It's like you're messing with perfection, but you probably could. People also ask, is Indiana Jones okay for an 8-year-old? That's oddly specific.
Yeah, the answer is yes. The answer is fucking yes.
Yes, yes. Evil Dead is fine for an 8-year-old. Leave him alone. Let's see. Temple of Doom, which I've been, for whatever reason, I've been seeing a lot of Temple of Doom is just under 2 hours. Have you been seeing the, like, people have been posting like these, like, behind the scenes about Temple of Doom, and apparently George Lucas was going through a divorce and like at the time of the filming of it, and he like doesn't remember anything about making it.
Yeah, you know, divorce. There's a lot of reasons to really, really love and cherish your partner, and the most self-serving of them is that going through a divorce seems like a nightmare. So there's, we've talked about it. There's a lot of, like, presumably you love your partner and that's a good reason to be with them. Sometimes people that love each other struggle to make a thing work, that we all understand that to be true. Sometimes people fall out of love. There's a whole bunch of things that can happen in the course of a relationship. But if you're just given your choice between figuring it out with somebody who you love, but is there's problems, or going through the, what would you call, soul crushing anguish and emotional hell of divorce. What do you choose? I think this is why our grandparents used to figure, I don't think it was Catholic guilt, because they were all fucking before they were married. You know what I mean? So yeah. I don't think it was that they were particularly religious. I think it was just, oh, the alternative is fucking brutal. My mind's going to be flayed.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't remember making Temple of Doom because the divorce was consuming you, then that should be, that should tell you what divorce does.
Yeah. I mean, because it looks like you were probably, where were you, in like Burma or someplace? Where was that film? Where was,
I think it was all filmed on a back lot, honestly, but
Doom film, Thomas.
It wasn't entirely filmed on a set.
No, it wasn't. It was, let's see, all that was in Kentucky.
yeah.
Okay. So, so there was scenes at Mammoth Mountain ski area in California. But Sri Lanka and China were the other spots.
Okay.
So here's my point. How do you not remember being in Sri Lanka?
Yeah, really. I think that would be that at the end of your life might be one of the more hallmarks. But maybe not. I mean, listen, I've been to Hawaii a number of times, and I have people that I meet that are like, damn, that's like a once in a lifetime. I've been like a lot of times.
Yeah, your family's weird about Hawaii, though. Not, but they're weird. You're like middle class family that like saved up every year to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, it's true.
That's like a real love of Hawaii.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying about Sri. Like, maybe there's a family out there that loves Sri Lanka.
I'm sure there is.
You know, maybe they could go to Sri Lanka every other year.
They can go on the rope bridge. Listen, before we run out of time, I want to talk about cocaine in the White House. I want to talk new social media threads or new social media.
Oh, social media. Oh my God. Everyone's such a loser. It's unreal.
Such a loser, man. The way that people are panicking about, like, okay, you and I enjoy this outlet of podcasting. And if Apple Music or whatever, Spotify, if all these things went away tomorrow, and we couldn't do our thing, there'd be a lot of people that would be sitting around going, you fucking losers, who cares about what you do, right? And that's fine. But I'm sorry, what we do, even with its low merit, just two dudes bullshitting, still has more, to me, validity than somebody entering a panicked spiral because they might not be able to get their fucking secret invasion takeoff on fucking Twitter. You look goddamn deranged.
You might not be able to morally preen in front of strangers.
Yeah, precisely. Oh, you might not be able to call John Lasseter a pedo or whatever the fuck.
Yeah. You might not be able to tweet at Andrew Tate, who will never see it.
Yeah, his assistant says, hey, I've flagged a few critics for you to shit on. And he goes, very good.
It's more pathetic when, like, so the last couple days I've spent with my girlfriend, I had not been looking at social media very much. But every time I did glance at it, it was like, it was the thing that happened. When was that? I guess maybe a year or less than a year ago. When everyone was like, oh, looks like Elon broke the website. Come find me here. I was like, we're doing this again.
Yeah.
Like,
they want him to break it. It's so weird.
But like, you're trapped in a cycle. Do people understand that you're all trapped in a cycle of recurring? You're just in recursion of these fucking of these like narratives that it's like this week, you know, oh, the site's breaking. Next week, cops shot a guy. Next week, Supreme Court. Oh, no. Next week, Trump he says a thing. You know, it's like you're trapped, man. You're on the hedonic treadmill.
That is the hedonic treadmill. That's exactly right.
It's so lame. You got to stop, man. And when people are like, oh, you just, oh, could someone invite me to the new app? It's like, yo. Maybe just stop with these things. You don't go start a family. Stop this.
That's it. Exactly right. Go start a family.
Take the dog to the park. You know, listen to some music. Like, go on a bike ride. Stop. You don't need this. Like, that was what did fucking Zuckerberg say? Because Zuckerberg's trying to, he's biting Elon's shit now. Where he's like, he says,
"I'm a villain."
Mark Zuckerberg says there should be a public conversations app with 1 billion people on it. And Twitter has had the opportunity, but it hasn't nailed it. Why do 1 billion people need to talk to each other? I don't think they do. I think it's a waste of time.
That's a good question.
What is the utility of 1 billion people all having access to their thoughts and their fucking inane opinions and bullshit? We don't need that. It's just more of a cut the flack out of your life.
You're sounding like a real Ted Kaczynski type here.
We just don't need it, man. Like tight knit communities, you know, like I like television and blowjob machines and technology. I'm chill with technology. You want to know what the consequences of the Industrial Revolution was? It was a higher or lower child mortality rate.
Yep.
There's a lot of great things about technology. But you know, you're bogging yourself down with this social credit fucking bullshit app that just makes you miserable. It's honestly like alcoholism. It's the same way I felt about alcohol, where it was like, look at me. Like, oh, look, people are paying attention to me. I got the likes and I feel good. And then like, you know, then you just, but most of the time when you're on this, you just feel horrible. Fuck these fucking things.
I mean, fuck these fucking things. Look, and you're talking about two guys who, relative to our age, are, I would not say extremely online, but probably very online.
Yeah.
Right? And but if we are willing to say, it would still be better to go on a jet ski, to go to the park with your girlfriend, have a conversation with your. I have this question a lot. These people that you see online a ton, what are their relationships like? Because my girl and I talk all day. Like if we're in the same house, you know, we both have work we've got to attend to occasionally. But if we're in the same house, we're talking, you know what I mean? Like and these people that are posting all day, I'm like, yo, they are not communicating with their fucking partner.
Oh yeah. No. Well, that's tragic in its own sense, where you can kind of just through being around the block a few times in life or just meeting certain types of people over and over again, where like you can kind of clock when someone is, especially like within relationships where you're like, oh, this ain't going to last, you know,
tweeting a lot.
Yeah. And it's, you know, more than anything though, to me is like the people who are the most like sometimes on like the woke tip is like they're the most online, which means they don't interact with real human beings as much as other people. Cause it's like, do you know how deeply unpopular the sentiment of defund the police is? Like across the spectrum, it's not a popular idea that doesn't have anything to do with the validity of it or whether or not it'll work. I'm just talking about the way people what people think about it.
Yeah.
Now, if you're on the internet, people love it.
Yeah. Or look at fucking affirmative action. Affirmative action is like, if you look online, you'd believe that this is like a dictatorial decision that has no basis in anything. And it's like, then you see that over half, it's not overwhelming, but it's over half of the people in the United States think, no affirmative action for me. Like, but if you look online, you just think that, oh, this is a conservative conspiracy of some type. Conspiracy, the majority of people agree, you know. Yeah. And then I wonder about this all the time. When you see somebody that's really in their bag about how everything's evil, like, you know, the Supreme Court is paid off and we live in a Nazi hellscape and all this bullshit. Do you ever wonder how they would have lived in Nazi Germany? They obviously would have been good Germans.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Because if you really in your heart feel that there is unmitigated, terrible evil, inhumane evil taking place, and the only thing you can think to do is to tweet, then you would have lived next to fucking Treblinka and said nothing.
Yeah. Do you know what I
mean? Like, yo, strap on a bomb vest, my guy, get it done.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is, the Supreme Court case that ended affirmative action, the case's plaintiffs were Asians, you know. It wasn't white people.
White people, I mean, are terrified to say that shit. The Asians are, they'd still like to win.
Well, it's also like, it seems like the main dissenter or the person who's been against something like this shit for a long time is Clarence Thomas. I mean, look, whether or not you think it's a good thing or whether or not you like, there's no question that like people don't have the same access to opportunities that are certain people of certain, you know, depending on where you were born or what you grew up in. You're not all at the same starting line. That's valid. But it doesn't seem, for as long as we've had affirmative action, to have solved the problem.
So I don't even think that's, we're going to get really wonky now. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's the relevant issue. The Supreme Court shouldn't be about solving our problems. Mm. It should be about interpreting the Constitution.
Sure. Yeah.
So it's like, so here's the thing, like everybody, if you're hearing this and you're thinking, I'm not even taking a position. I'm just saying that the Supreme Court's job, like the thing that we put them in this place to do, is not to enrich yourself or to make your life better or to make the average American's life better. It's to interpret the Constitution in such a way that laws can be applied within that context. So, I mean, my whole thing here is maybe affirmative action didn't work. But I don't think that matters. I think it's like, is it constitutional? And if somebody wants to say, I think we should throw the Constitution in the trash, totally valid conversation. It's completely weird that we see a document as sacred, even if it's a brilliant piece of work, even if it's impressive for its time in every regard. It is, you don't need to see it as sacrosanct. You could rip it up. But if the job is to interpret the thing, it seems like they did their job.
Well, I'm where I was speaking from is just the fact of, like, you know, if you think that it is an important policy or practice in the fight to, I understand when you're talking about the Supreme Court, but I just think you would have to like reconcile or recognize or wrestle with the fact that I've had affirmative action for a long time and the disparities continue to exist, you know? And like at a certain point where it's like, it almost becomes cliche, but still valid at the end of the day, where it's like, yo, it's a class issue. It's just a class issue. It's people, you have a rainbow of people applying to these universities from one type of economic background, and it's upper middle class. That's it. You know, if you want to make this fairer, you have to look at it from a race perspective. Doesn't as far as I can tell, and I'm not the most educated on the issue, but you know, I listened to Camille Foster really fucking like tear it apart. And it was like, it's really kind of hard to see it the other way. You know, it's
I'm waiting for my man Glenn to pop out, because he's been anti-affirmative action for 35 years. So I'm waiting. I don't think he's done a new episode of his podcast, but I am, you know, I it's just going to be one of those moments. Like, he's a Clarence Thomas super fan. Yeah, have you ever even fucking heard of that?
Have you ever looked up Clarence Thomas's his opinion on like criminal justice?
Yeah, apparently he's a fucking weirdo.
He's not great, man. No, he's not great.
Listen, by all accounts, he is a strange guy that I think the most interesting thing is how he's been recast as a sexual predator for, in essence, being like an uncool fucking like kind of sexual harasser boss. Now, let's say that that's all true.
Well, you're going back to like 1991, right?
Yeah. So let's say that's all.
What was her name? What was the lady's name?
Anita Hill.
That's right. Yep.
So let's say that that's all true. Every bit of it. And there's people that think it is, and there's people that think it isn't. But okay, it's all true. He is guilty of something then, and it's called being a sexist pig of a boss who did rude shit. It's not the same. I'm sorry to report, everybody. It's not the same as being a fucking violent rapo. It's just not. And it's like, if we don't think that this guy in the intervening 30 years would have maybe changed his mind on those a little bit, it's just not giving human beings enough credit. So I don't know. I just think it's so interesting whenever, like when Kavanaugh got to the bench and everybody was like, now there's two sexual predators. And it's like, well, the Kavanaugh thing is dicey, everyone. But the Clarence Thomas thing is like, he was a cocksucker. It's different. It's fucking different. We got to start acknowledging different. Oh, that's just different. No. That's different than that. That's different than this.
Never going to happen. What else we got? Oh, cocaine in the White House. Let's do that one quick.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Hunter Party Boy, or do you think Joe is no?
No, it's Kamala. And that's,
Think?
Yeah. This is the weirdest conversation in all of fucking media, that we don't acknowledge that Kamala is so obviously medicated. Mm. Like, whenever people are like, what's wrong with her? I'm like, I have very limited exposure to people on pills, and I know this woman's on pills. So if I found out that she was balancing out her fucking Percocet addiction with occasional fucking toot toot, I would not, I would not be fucking shocked by any, you know what I'm saying?
Mm. You think she's on that Jordan Belfort?
I think that she is. Yeah, she seems a little a muscle. Let me say this. I'm gonna put it on record.
Muscle relaxers for sure.
Right. If Kamala wants to take me to court, I welcome the discovery process.
Yeah.
Kamala's on muscle relaxers. She's, I'm not saying this with confidence, but she's probably on those perks. She is loopy. It's just people that are like, I don't know. Do you think that old age is contagious? You think it's Joe Biden just like infected her? No, she's on pills.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts? Thank you.
I mean, legalize cocaine. What can I tell you? I mean, like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I don't think it's that surprising that cocaine was found in the White House. It could have been left there by fucking, by Don Jr., you know? Like, there's a number. Maybe it was Obama. Maybe it was
Hold on. You're doing a thing right now. You're doing
what?
Because they are, the Secret Service has leaked that they don't believe they'll be able to find the culprit. They leaked that. So a Secret Service agent speaking under terms of anonymity has said, yeah, it's just a high traffic area, so we doubt we'll be able to figure out who it was. Are you believing that for a second?
No, I would think that the whole fucking facility has cameras everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah. I think it would be pretty easy to find out whose that is.
So what's that mean? That means that they've already reviewed the tape and it's Kamala getting fucking lit.
You're throwing these allegations. You're convinced it's Kamala. Huh.
Yeah. And hold on. Let's see. Let me just make sure I got my facts in order.
I mean, I think it could have been any number of folks.
Hold on.
I don't know. I mean, if we found out that Kamala was taking rides down the slope, you know, it might help her image.
Okay. So I'm going to say that it is Kamala's 1/8 Irish ancestry that caused her to do the cocaine.
What does that mean?
It means that I don't want to get hit with some shit that she's black, so I think she's on coke.
I didn't even think of that.
Whenever you accuse, if
coke is like more of a white guy thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, but I jumped out that it was Kamala. That's a fucking completely fucking off on cocaine. And whenever you do that, people talk about the broad implications of just like throwing a black person in for fucking doing drugs. I'm blaming her Tamil side, everybody. I'm blaming her her mother, who is an Indian woman.
I see.
That's the side of her that is coke to the gills. It's not her black side. I'm just saying it. I know it's her because of how she behaves, having nothing to do with nothing else. She is on drugs, full stop.
I think maybe she just likes to party and have a good time.
I'm only judging her because I dislike her.
Yeah.
But I don't actually care what she does with her cocaine habits. Although I'd be curious how many people she sent to prison for cocaine.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah. We've talked about it before. We disagree on this. I love her. I think she's great.
Yeah, I don't think I feel.
I think she's great. I think she's just the perfect politician, man. We've perfected the politician who can speak without saying anything. She's never said. I don't think anything she's ever said has had substance.
No, ever. Hold on. I want you to, did you see this news from the Hollywood Reporter?
No, what's going on? Is the strike over?
No, but, Ryan Murphy, he's got 3 shows in production. Threatens to sue the Writers Guild strike captain. What do we think about that?
Sounds about right.
I mean, this is inevitable, right? When you're costing people millions of dollars, they will eventually lose their patience.
I mean, he's so 3 scripts. So he's a triple scab.
He's a triple scab.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if some of these showrunners who can afford to walk away from the Writers Guild, walk away from the Writers Guild, that's going to be fucking rough. And not for nothing. I think you and I talked about it. One of the biggest items on the agenda is wrong. It's a wrong thing that the Writers Guild is insisting on. They're insisting on minimum writer rooms, minimum higher writer room size.
So yeah,
you have to have X amount of human beings in that writer's room, regardless.
Yes.
So you're gonna have fucking people sitting around like a spare dick doing fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And this is how we keep people employed in crooked ass fucking union land, right?
Yeah.
So that's how. I mean, you're gonna get the showrunners that don't want a 22-year-old trying to take credit for what they had written before they entered the fucking room. Do you know what I mean? Like, and they're just gonna be like, why do I have these goddamn parasites who fucking yell at me about everything? You know what I mean? Like, I'm the fucking showrunner. Get these fucking scumbags out of here. So if some of them walk away, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, they're gonna, it's it's getting weird. Yeah, weird. The minimum writer thing is strange. It like defies logic, but yeah, it does feel like one of those like, you know, crooked, like on a construction site. It's like, yeah, every Thursday at noon, our lunch break is actually 3 hours. It's like,
hold on. This is why people pay for the blue check mark.
Oh,
on that Hollywood Reporter tweet, that with a link to the article, a guy responds with a blue check mark. They call me Dames, and that's Damon Gonzalez. He replies with at Ryan Murphy Production, not a good look. So I go, oh, who's this blue check mark? Damon Gonzalez. SAG-AFTRA. So he, in his fucking bio, he says SAG-AFTRA actor/performer. So this is a guy who, let's see what he's been in. Hold on. Jesus Christ. This is dark, man.
It's dark.
This is dark. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to read his bio on his website. I've spent my whole life chasing my dreams, sometimes ending up in unusual places. I've danced with Donatella, enjoyed Shabbat dinner with Madonna, drank beers with Mark Anthony, and flown on a private jet with J-Lo. I've managed pop stars, international jet setters, rubbed doubles with royalty, and ruled the roost at Condé Nast. I've even averted a serial killer. What the hell? I've even averted a serial killer. What does that mean? Like, you dodged a serial killer?
Is this that commercial guy, the most interesting man in the world? Remember that?
Yeah. So he says that he is he constantly uses his... Wow, Jesus Christ. The name of this website is They Call Me Dames. And Dames, he keeps referring to himself as Dames. That's D-A-Y-M-Z for Damon. Damon Gonzalez Dames is a SAG-AFTRA actor, celebrated blogger, published writer, and has appeared as a commentator on TMZ Live. His Damon is Twitter famous,
and his
Real Talk comments have been quoted in the LA Times and many news articles all around the world. Hold on. Let's check out this famous individual, 3,000 followers. Whoa.
Tragedy.
His LGBTQ themed essays on The Advocate. Trying hard. gained the attention of the United Nations Human Rights Campaign. As a result, he was asked to pen an essay about the injustices of LGBTQ communities throughout the Middle East. What? He worked as an assistant to Mark Anthony.
It was
Jennifer Lopez who gave him the nickname Dames.
I doubt it.
What about his name's Damon? It's just, that's Dames. You know what I mean? What? Yeah, this person, I feel bad, man.
Is this an LA person? It has to be, right?
Oh yeah, fuck yeah! Dames currently resides in Los Angeles.
Probably lives down the hall from me. No doubt. I can't stand the fake biggery out here, man. I can't take it. I can't take the fake big stuff.
You know, my life in LA was so small. It was just from the apartment to the Whole Foods.
Well, it was also COVID, but yeah. But you tend to keep your life small.
Yeah. Oh, can we watch The Idol?
Oh, we should. I want to watch it.
Everybody's shitting on it. It seems fun.
I hate The Weeknd, but I'll watch it.
He's terrible, man.
I mean, I think his music is just awful.
His music's terrible.
And he can't act for shit either. But yeah, I'll watch it.
Deftones for black guys.
Is that? Oh, yeah, it might be. That might work. let's see. Hang on. So this guy's in. Yeah, dude. The amount of like fake big out here is like revolting. It's like, just stop, man. Just stop. It's so embarrassing. Am I too New York for LA? I don't feel like I fit in here.
Hey, listen, what, you think there's a place you are going to fit in?
Fair. That's fair enough, I guess. But I mean, it's just, God, I can't. When people do that thing, man, it makes me feel insane. You know what I mean?
I forgive somebody in their 20s who's in essence lying about their resume. I forgive that person.
Well,
there's a lot of pressure to make yourself seem bigger than you are, you know, and you think that that can work. But by the time you're 30, if you don't recognize that it's cooler to be an Uber driver than it is to be a person lying about being an Uber driver. You know what I mean? Yeah. like it's just cooler. So if you don't realize that by 30, then you're fucking lost.
I have a hard time like playing along with the person who's obviously lying about a thing. And everyone's like, that's great, man. I can't do it. Makes me shirk. Makes me shrivel up like a flaccid penis.
Listen, if there's not like a tell all where we find out that that's Kamala with the cocaine, I'll eat my hat. That we just know that to be true.
All right, fair enough. I have to put the kibosh on this episode because I have things in the dryer and I'm one of those people that I left my stuff down there and I'm probably going to go down there and find all my stuff strewn about.
Oh, I've got to watch the 11 mile long IMAX print of Oppenheimer. Hey, everybody.
What if that movie's a turd?
Yo, it's so crazy. People act like Christopher Nolan is responsible for straight gas, just like the hottest. Yeah. No, man, Tenet was ass. And it's like, if this is, I like some of his movies, but it's not like he's got like a fucking, he's not batting 1,000. So if this expensive, indulgent, fucking biopic is not it, I don't know. Are you going to be shocked?
No, not in the slightest. The only movies of his that I really enjoy are what's that one? Insomnia, the one that everyone forgets about with Al Pacino. And oh, sure. I think I like parts of The Dark Knight. The third one was pretty bad. The first one is one of those movies I've never seen all the way through because I fall asleep every single time.
Yep.
Interstellar was one of the worst movies ever made.
I think it's fucking butt.
It is such butt. I've never seen Dunkirk. I've heard that one's good.
I really like Dunkirk a lot.
Yeah, you like Dunkirk, Nolan films. What is it? Inception was all right. If you Inception's one of those movies where you really gotta just like buy in. Yeah, yep. You gotta like buy in the fact that doesn't make sense and it's fine. The Prestige I thought was straight ass. People like that one. People love that's the one that people will show you beside from the Batman movies that is like, oh, he's the best. Prestige I thought was just Duke. Straight up Dookie. He was the producer of the Snyder Cut. That's very strange.
That was a legacy thing.
Didn't see Tenet, tried to watch it on a plane. Gave up after about 5 minutes. Memento is another one of those that people say is great.
I like Memento, but it's also been 25 years and it was like edgy and cool at the time, so it might not hold up.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Listen, Cocaine in the White House. I got to use the toilet.
Cocaine in the White House. Everybody, patreon.com/worstpossibletimeline. We'll talk to you soon.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know, I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.